is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabbour.
The Meat Improv is, of course, the podcast where we bring on comedians from around the world, mostly Los Angeles. They tell meaty stories from their lives, and then we do improvised scenes based on those stories. Today we have two very special guests from the teams White Women, and you're both on Queen George, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, excellent. Majid Nami and Carl Tart.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Welcome.
Thanks for being here.
This shit gonna be meaty as hell.
I appreciate all the meat that y'all had for us when we walked in. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, me neither. I tried to work out today, and then Jake ordered a bunch of pizzas just to nullify it, take it down to zero. I thought I was gonna have a positive day.
This is a positive day.
Definitely a positive day.
Here's something when Jake came over today that I noticed for the first time. Hope you don't mind me bringing it up.
No, that's fine.
I noticed Jake has a few gray hairs going on.
Yeah, I have gray hairs.
Just a few?
Just a few.
Oh, yeah.
Few.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I sort of like, it's interesting to me. Sort of thinking about this just a little bit. We've mentioned it on the podcast before, but like, you know, I just had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's funny to me, like even being in the improv community, having been around for a while, sometimes you forget who was around when a little bit. Like, a lot of people don't even remember that I was ever on Herald Night.
Because,
even, people that are on now, maybe took a class 1 or 2 years ago. A couple people. Then there's some old-timers.
People definitely respect you around. There's something I've been noticing that, not saying that you're not a nice person, but when I've been noticing that a lot of people seem to think that we're all kind of like a gelatinous, like one age, one level of improv. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, yeah.
No matter, like, it's not like, which I'm not saying that there has to be like any status, like, but sometimes, like, you get people who are like talking to you as if you're like just out of 301.
Yeah.
I've been kind of doing this for a bunch of years. Like, somebody got upset with me after a show.
What do you mean? For what?
Something that I said on stage. I don't want to. I'll go into it all. But
you have to tell me details. I'm curious, though.
But yeah, something that I said on stage in character. They got upset with me, and I was kind of just like, "Don't talk to me like that." Like, no, but not in like a like.
Yeah.
Me was just kind of like, I'm kind of offended that you would say that to me.
You mean like? Like that they would feel like they could tell you what to say or to not say on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we squashed it, and we're good.
Yeah.
But I consider her a friend. Like, so we just kind of had to talk it out.
Ooh.
And she was offended by something I said, which I understood. I understood her feelings and everything.
But, like the material?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was pulling from an opening, and also Madge, who was playing with me, like, set me up for it. Like,
that's
what I do.
Yeah. But I didn't think that, it got a groan from the audience, but, you know, it was in character, and it was from the opening video that the team played for us to pull off of.
Gotcha.
And I said something, and kind of got like, oh, like one of those, like, half laugh, half groan.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she was like, hey, don't say that word. You're not that. Don't be that guy. You don't need to be that guy. You're smarter than that. You're better than that. Be better than that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Don't.
Is it in Sanctum Show?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember.
And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Who? What are you saying to me?
Yeah.
But we squashed it though. We're good.
That's good.
We both apologized to each other.
I've definitely had moments on stage where I've said something and then just been like, ooh, didn't feel good.
Yeah.
You know, or made a joke or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to learn, is, like, by the reaction, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, yes, you shouldn't be an asshole on stage, but, like, I don't like that I always censor myself. There were things I won't say because, like, oh, this is going to offend. Like, our show, the third beat, I came in, I was the wife, and Ed Rowe was the husband, and I was abusive in all the other scenes, so he was like, oh, this is surprising to me. I was, in any relationship, I thought I would be the abusive one.
Uh-huh.
So the third beat, I came and said, okay, baby, you can beat me now.
Oh.
So it was like, oh,
going.
Yeah. They got out of it, but I knew that was like a risk, but where's nowhere else to go? Like, we were heightening the hell out of it.
Yeah, yeah, and also, like, we all knew to edit at that point. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Certain, like, this wasn't, like, my character wasn't, when I did this, I said retarded in the scene.
Okay.
And I said it at the edit point, and, like, it was because you set me up. We were pulling from Donald Trump, like a video about Donald Trump and
mocking the retarded reporters. And
he set me up as, disabled reporters.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't mock. I didn't make any gesture. I didn't make any noises. I just said the word.
Yeah.
And so it kind of let me know, like, oh, you guys aren't really listening to what we're doing.
Yeah.
That was just a trigger for you
Yeah. I got issues with that too, actually. I think that's why, and this is probably a bigger thing, but like, there's definitely jokes I make on my neighbor's porch that I would never make publicly.
On the stage of 120 people.
Yeah. Well, even though I think they're funny. Like, when, you know, Eddie Redmayne, isn't he the one that played Stephen Hawking?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I have a dumb joke with my neighbors where I'm like, oh, Eddie Redmayne, he played that retard. But I think it's funny to call Stephen Hawking a retard because it shows how dumb I am.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't mean it.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a sign of the times.
It's a weird...
well, now I said it on my biggest platform.
So. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about one of the comedians on there. His mother died of lupus, and he was like, I go to improv shows a lot, and lupus comes up because it sounds funny, which also just says, like, the caliber of comedy. Like, but he's like, I had to separate myself out from that, because he's like, the people on stage don't know that my mother died of lupus. Like, I was, and it is that weird thing of, like, everybody has their triggers, and what those triggers are, I don't know. I think it makes it, like, maybe it's a little to what you're saying of, like, if I'm constantly, like, improv is a little bit about taking risks, and you will find out in that moment of, like, well, work didn't work sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's a weird...
I mean, cause it's a tough balance.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, civil rights and, like, where we're at, like, it started with people like, well, I don't really think he's the N-word.
Right, it's yeah, just, yeah.
I like the way it sounds when it rolls off my tongue. Like, you had to, like, change.
Yeah.
And even now, like, the F-word, you know, calling gay, like, that is, I have friends that are still just like, oh, I'm just saying he's weak in the snap. I'm like, no, you have to think.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You've evolved from that.
By the way, that's one that I've seen... I saw people use that on stage when I was starting out in, like, 2007, and now never.
Yeah, you never
but
see
like,
it now.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. But even when people were using it, they were like, what, I was playing a frat bro, you know, or something
old,
like that.
Like, old school starts with a joke like that. Like, if you go back and watch those, like, comedies, like, early 2000s, it's like, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, it just starts that
or Eddie Murphy.
In certain, I don't know, man. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, his stand-up specials. It was the 80s. That's what he was wearing a red leather tight
I heard
suit.
Someone else talk about that. They're like, yeah, well, you can blame him. The audience was laughing.
Yeah.
That was like a sign of the times.
It was just like, not a big, and he said, like, they're probably gay dudes there laughing. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, but it's hard to, defend. Like, after she confronted me about it, I did look inside myself and be like, wait, did I say? And then I was like, well, we owe it to the comedy, to ourselves. Like, we pulled from this video. We're pulling premise. If I didn't say something, at least along the lines of that, like, because I wasn't that bad of a guy in the scene. Like, he just made me a bad dude who drove a Honda Accord. And, like, so I was just making myself bad, because they're the worst.
Yeah.
They're
Honda Accords?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sorry to those Honda Accord listeners out there.
Someone definitely is listening in a Honda Accord. Sorry, you're the worst.
Crashes.
Like, I don't know. Do we owe it to comedy, to the art form? Like, is there to be the truest characters? Like, okay, put it this way. If I'm playing a racist dude, there's a way to play a racist dude without saying the N-word, but also not calling a person an African-American. Because they don't use that term. So, like, if white dude goes, the blacks, it might sound weird on stage, but that's what that person would say. He wouldn't say, like, those are African Americans, and I don't like them. Like,
yeah,
the confused racist.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. Do we owe it to the art form? Is it or should we all just like Is it not playing to the height of our intelligence when we?
I think that's such a deeper discussion.
I know, because
the older comics will say that political correctness is ruining comedy.
Yeah,
you know, since it kind of is. In some ways.
But how? Because a lot of the comedians in this community, everybody's socially conscious.
They
agree. So how do you? That's that true balance of like just rising above it or something. Play smarter, not bluer.
Improv's different than something you write. As well,
yeah,
because you're sort of like dipping your toe as you go in improv. Like, whereas, like, you know, I feel like I can write stuff. When I write, I'm more aware of a line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, even Kitty Cat Williams.
Yeah,
like to be honest, is like I know I'm doing an impression of a black comic, but I was like, I'm a cat.
Yeah, it's funny.
I've been a little, when I first started doing it, I was a little self-conscious of it. Like, is this even my business? But I was like, I kind of like Cat Williams. I hope that comes through.
Yeah.
But dude, it's kitty cat jokes.
You came up with a very funny bit.
Yeah.
I can tell you as a black person who doesn't love Cat Williams.
Yeah.
But I do think he's funny. I know why he's funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny bit.
Yeah,
like it always kills. It's very funny to do cat jokes like in that style.
Yeah,
and I think you owe it to Cat Williams and to the bit itself to do it the way you do it.
Yeah,
like, you can go harder.
Like, yeah, probably.
Like,
the impression when I it sounds way better in my head. By the way, when I listen back to it, I'm like, that's just me kind of going,
just kind of making my voice nasally.
But yeah, there's a difference. I don't know. I think if someone's written something, give them a chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like see what they've done and then judge it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think if they write it, you can judge it harder. Whereas improv, I feel like one of the more important things I teach students is just like whenever someone does something questionable in an improv scene, my note is, and this happened in my tryout to be a teacher, Joe Wengert sitting in the back of the class, like judging me, how I coach. Someone did something that was pretty uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like a 201 student. I don't think it was a bad person, just got in there, and my note was just like, how'd it feel? Like, don't forget, just how'd it feel? Like, pretty bad? Didn't feel good? Like, you're worried people are judging you here, like that you did made some bad choices? Just remember it.
You do get that guy who just started improv 6 months ago who's like, I'm gonna be edgy because that's what comedy should be.
Ugh.
We shouldn't be scared. It's like, nah, dude, don't say stupid shit. You don't even know how. Like, that's you're not calculated with this. You're literally just trying to get a rise out of people.
Boy, that is a straight out of college young comic mistake. I remember being out of college too and hearing Louis C.K. saying something like, comics under the age of 27 don't have anything to say because they haven't experienced anything. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well.
Yeah.
And then when I got past that, I was like, he's kind of right.
Yeah.
And it might be. He might have made it low.
Yeah.
He might have undercut it. Anyway. Cool.
Gray hair?
Gray hair?
I got a ton of it, and I'm also going bald. So, and I could probably say I'm the youngest person at this table.
Yeah.
Don't get on his gray hair. Someone else.
I got two. I got no problem with it. It did happen immediately after I started teaching. Like, it was like, this is the amount of stress I can handle. I've dipped too far into, I'm too stressed. My body is telling me, this is aging you.
You just got to look at Obama for that. That's a year in.
I know. Well, I wasn't going to make that. This is my Obama moment.
Improv! So, how's your first few weeks of teaching been?
It's okay. It's a lot of work.
You enjoying the kids? They really love you.
Oh, that's good to hear. I really like it. It's tough to find a fine line between, you know, being a teacher and letting them know that I care.
Yeah. It took me a long time to find that line. Then I think I realized it once my dick stopped working.
What?
Yeah, I'm a principal now. So it's since come back a little bit. But, the job aged me, and it aged my
penis.
You're
saying that's related?
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of off nights, and I thought I was just... You think that...
Are you normally a stallion?
I don't know about a stallion. I'm a bit of a colt, but you know. But I've been coming in at a pony.
Yeah. I went all the way down to just big dog.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This class is killing me. Let me see what's in this fridge. Damn it. All I brought was the mac and cheese. I forgot the sandwich. I'm so stressed out with these students, guys. And last night I was really going in it with my lady, and she got up right in the middle of it. What? I think I'm losing my touch.
Yeah, that's happening. How many years have you been at this?
Teaching? Or being with my lady?
Both.
I've been teaching for about 15 years. Been with my lady about 5, so 20 altogether.
Yeah, that's when it starts.
Oh, no.
When what starts?
Your dick stops working.
What? No, come on, man. I'm really virile. I work out a lot.
Would you call yourself a stallion, a colt?
Is there an in-between? A co-stallion?
Between a colt and a stallion would be like a, I don't know.
I don't know. Just like a bronco?
A Clydesdale.
Clydesdale? We're teachers. We should know this.
We don't teach animals.
I do teach
science.
And
I'm a principal. Don't you respect me as such.
Sorry.
So this is... What can I do? Why'd you keep doing it? You chose the kids over?
I love the children. Ugh. I love the children. I think education is very important. In today's times, education is more important than my dick.
Oh. That's a strong statement. You really feel education is more important than your dick?
Yeah, absolutely. We gotta get this man out of office.
That's true. I hate the direction the country is turning.
Enjoy your dick, fellas. Enjoy your dicks. Yeah. Sorry, I know I don't speak very often.
No, you don't.
Didn't see you sitting back there.
Yeah, you know, I've been here 45 years.
Oh, man.
Enjoy your dicks while you got them. Because I'll tell you, at my age, having taught for so long, I don't even have a sexual thought anymore. Anytime I see sexual imagery of any kind, I blank, shut down, and... that's when I call in sick. You've probably noticed sometimes. What? I'm sick 2 to 3 days at a time.
No way. Take a look at this laptop.
Shut it down.
Hey.
Was that a picture of your wife and kids on the desktop?
Yeah, I didn't even open the browser yet.
Sorry.
Just a picture of a woman you associate with a sexual image and shut down?
I mean, it's good for... In some cases, I'm sure it's good, but... yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to handle it anymore. My heart. My heart.
Stand up.
Hey.
We can't lose you. I'm going to have to pay somebody more to teach your class.
What?
Yeah, you should have never signed that contract. They said you get the same salary your whole career.
Back in the day, 18 grand a year was something else.
And now teachers are making 20 grand.
You lucky ducks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, if you can help it, however you can keep on keeping on, becoming a principal, genius.
I don't want to be inappropriate or anything like that, but excuse me, principal, but I mean, there are a lot of students here that, you know, that don't dress the same way when we were that young.
Hey, now, I'm a principal.
I'm just saying, it doesn't do anything for me. But you, sir, it does nothing for you? Doesn't make you want to leave home? I mean, did you see Amy? Came out of AP Math? That woman has brains.
Yes.
And body.
Yes. Oh, well, I've certainly heard of these things. I don't know if you've noticed. I teach. When I teach, I face the chalkboard.
The whole time?
Yep, I have to.
Huh.
Again, you'd think that it was... too much testosterone causing these types of things.
Yeah.
In fact, it's any just droplet of it that sends me over the edge. What do you know, right? Take a look at this dick real quick. What'd you say? Take a look at this dick.
Oh, my God.
Looks like a button on a teddy bear, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, that's what you boys have to look forward to.
How is that piece of thread in there?
I had to.
That thread is holding it on?
Yep. I had to.
That all happened from teaching?
Yes.
Hanging on by a thread.
It happened over years. You ever seen a picture? Ever seen someone you knew really well after a few years and they've lost weight?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it happens. It was gradual for me, but eventually one day I looked down there and I was like, fuck.
I don't want this life. I think this is my last year. I'm sorry. I mean, my woman, my lady, she's too... attractive. I don't want to lose her. If I
that's
can't,
the reason you don't want to lose.
Well, if I can't give her what she needs, she's gonna bounce.
All right.
You seen his button penis? I don't want that.
I did see it. It is very odd.
Let's be honest. This is a public school. These kids will be fine.
I don't do that well outside of here. Maybe I could just. Could I substitute teach and just come in sometimes?
Yes.
And
then, you could do that.
That's a good idea. When I have a good day.
That'll help.
Curb that back a little bit. The country's in bad enough shape, and I'm not batting that great out in the city that I should give it all up. But I don't want to.
Stallion status back.
Yeah, I got to get back to that.
We cut to this guy's house months later. Sweetheart.
Yes.
Did you substitute teach today?
Yeah.
I'm ovulating.
Sorry.
I told you, I'm come on, get that thing up.
It's not going to happen. I had a long day. We had to read Lord of the Flies, and I, that chapter analysis, it's tough. Kids do not want to read Lord of the Flies. You know how long ago that book was written? You think they care?
I never read it.
You haven't read Lord of the Flies?
No.
Hold on.
Okay, I'll put on my robe.
Please.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hey, it's me, the principal.
Oh, hey.
I normally don't like to take work home.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see how things are going with the old lady.
Not great, honestly. I substitute taught today, as you know, and it's wrecked me for the day.
Do you need me to cut back on your hours? I can.
Yeah. Can I do like a half day?
Yeah, you could teach the kindergarten.
Boy, you are incredibly understanding. This is so thoughtful.
Hey, I get it. I'm a principal of a school. Old guy died.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have his penis here. The button.
We cut to the strip club. Sir, I need you to get out of here.
What?
Now, you are depressing all of my ladies, all right?
I made a promise to an old guy that I would take his penis to this club.
No, that's a penis? Okay, that and you need to go. You haven't got not one dance. I mean, we got all these students coming over here during finals week. You think you'd be as excited as they are to get this dance?
I don't know. We were talking about, I got inspired, I had to do my part. So I went in, I taught a half day. It's eating me. It's getting to me. I can't hold it back.
Oh, you got that teacher dick.
Yeah, I got that teacher dick.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Somebody
about
said
that.
Teacher dick.
And that's the story of teacher dicks.
Every teacher that's going to hear that.
All Jake's coworkers.
Yeah, they're going to be like, what's wrong with Jake?
Awesome. Well, let's get into the meat part of the podcast, where we share a story. Mad, you're up first.
Okay.
Dre's giving you the eyeballs
now. What's up, buddy?
Okay, so this story takes place in, I want to say it was like 2004, 2005. I had just finished L.A. Film School.
Oh, cool. Did you like that, by the way?
I did. It was before it became accredited and bought out by Full Sail. And I focused on cinematography, directing, and producing. I was always an actor, but I loved everything about film. And I was like, I'm going to be behind and in front and figure it all out. And I wanted to meet new people. And it was a one-year program, immersion. And then everybody left L.A. So like I was like just by myself. But one of the I did a lot of random jobs. And one of the jobs I did, I was a security guard at Sony.
Okay.
And then I had met different people, like different producers. One day, my dad came in with me, so they had a drive-on for me, so that I never went back. Because they were like, what? You going to drive-on? Who is he? I was like, got to go. but one of the guys we met was this
that's why you never went back?
It was just weird. I was doing other things, but it was just like, I didn't feel like going into the story of like, who's your father? Why do you have a drive on if you're just a security guard?
Why are you
meeting in, I think it was Lasseter at the time.
Yeah.
Like a big head of the studio or like producer guy. So one of the people we met, his name was Tom something, and he ran Impact Pictures out of Oklahoma. The Impact Pictures makes a lot of religious movies and stuff like that, and Christianity films. And at this point, like, my father, he had a lot of money through natural gas, so everybody was always hitting him up to come invest in his films. So he said, come on, Mike, why don't you come out to Oklahoma? and like check out where we're at, check out the production studio, all that kind of stuff. So of course he's going to take me, my father is going to take me with him to just see if they're, you know, up to par and if we should invest in them.
Okay.
So we go to their house, and beautiful house and like beautiful family. His daughter, I think, is my twin brother's with me as well. Saeed, Majid, the Eids. And we're sitting at the table, and like right away everybody hold hands and pray. And you know, I grew up, you know, I was raised Catholic. My grandmother was Muslim. My grandfather was Jewish. And like my mother raised us Catholic. I'm more spiritual than anything now at this point. But it was a little awkward because we didn't know these people. And it's just like right away, like all hold hands, prayer. And it was a long prayer, a long prayer. I remember that and just being like, okay. And the daughter was beautiful. Like I remember me and my brother like, wow, she's really pretty. But like there's no way nothing's ever gonna happen. And then the brother was like a year younger, and we were just ready to go. I was just, I don't know why sometimes I feel weird in a house that's really religious or something. Like I can't just be me or something at the time.
Uh-huh.
And my father was ready to go back to the hotel. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go. And the kid's like, yo, I got PlayStation, Madden. So my brother's like, all right, let's stay. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't want to spend the night here and play Madden. I'm like, so my dad's like, cool, and just gone. So we're stuck there, and I'm like, I'm going to spend the night. And this kid had his room, but then he had a whole nother room that had like a projection screen for Madden. And he said he had some weed. So that's all we need to hear. And like, all right, we'll make the best out of this and shit. So, and I'm like, well, again, I'm thinking like, I can't talk to this girl at her house. Like, just like, hey, so what's up? How you doing? Like, you know, at the end of the room, I'm like, let's just double down on this Madden, I guess. So we go and we smoke weed in the dude's, like, there, it was like a crawl space or crawl space. And he has other drugs. So, like, I'm fine with weed.
Wait, in a crawl space, from my experience, that's like, you literally have to crawl.
Yeah, but it's also, like, an unfinished part of the house,
okay,
like, with the fiberglass all around and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, that was his smoke room.
Gotcha.
So, we're fine to smoke weed. Like, we're playing Madden, we go over there, let's go smoke. I'm like, all right, cool. And but then he has all these other drugs, and he wants to do them. I'm like, I'm good, man, I'm good. So, he starts doing these other drugs. And, like, while you're playing Madden, like, my brother and more are very competitive. We're just, like, into it, like, whatever, whatever. And, like, looking at him, like, damn, this dude is freaking out.
What drugs do you know?
I don't remember. They're pills or something.
Okay.
And I'm freaking out because I'm like, how are we going to go downstairs to the religious dude and tell, like, we were worried. Like, this dude, like, seems like he's overdosing or something. Like, he's, like, fucked up. Oh, I'm going to beat your ass, man. 21 point, we're, like, still trying to stay in it. So in his room, like, maybe, like, by the door, he has a wet bar in there. So he goes over to like the wet bar, and my brother and I are just playing. At this point, he can't play. He's like done. And I'm looking at my brother like, told you we should have left him. I didn't want to be here, man. Like, whatever, man, get your ass whooped. So then he's over at the wet bar, and he's like just drinking water, and it's like he just kind of, you can just hear him breathing, and then like he just lays down. And we're like, what should we do? I don't know. Like, I'm like, all right. It sounds like he's quiet. All right, I guess he's asleep. Like, we're like, he's fine. I guess he's just probably passed out. He's need to pass out. So we're playing the game. And then all of a sudden, you hear his zipper go down.
What?
And I'm like, what's he doing? And he starts jerking off. And like, literally, we're in the same room. He's right there. So you hear everything, like him breathing, him like coming, building up, and just like, and then when he comes, it's like me and my brother looking at each other like, we can't say shit, because you know you by yourself asleep and you think nobody can hear you. He thinks he's in his old world just going at it. And like,
so this is in the night? This isn't Madden still going on?
No, we're playing Madden. So my brother and I are playing Madden. He's masturbating right there. And we're just like he thinks we can't hear him.
Jesus Christ.
Everything, because it was late and the Madden wasn't blaring. So he's just over there masturbating. Like, I'm so mad because I did not want to stay. And then my brother's just like, and it's like one of those controlled, like you can't laugh because you don't want to give it away. Yeah. So like you hear him. He finishes.
And then, like, all slicks, tries to, like, put his hand on the bar, grab a paper towel, and then, like, stand up, like, oh, what's up, y'all? Like, he just woke up. It's like, motherfucker, I know what you was doing. He was just doing that right next to us. That was it, man. It was just like, it was it was a story that I tell on podcasts to this day. The kid that masturbated didn't think anybody could hear him, even though he was in the same fucking room.
Did you have to stay that night?
We still had to stay the rest of the night. And my dad came up, my bag was packed. I was like, jumped in the car, like, hi, not invest in their company, did not give them money. I was like, this is such like the hypocrisy. They got kids up here doing all this drugs. Find out later that beautiful daughter was pregnant, like before she was married by somebody else. And like, it was just like it, you know, like they put all this stuff out there. He makes all this money making these movies, and like in the house you have underage kids doing their thing. Like,
with a wet bar.
Crazy wet bar. Yeah.
What kind of movies? I guess I could look it up, but Impact, like
Impact Pictures,
is it? You said Christian movies. I saw some of those, like the what are the rapture ones called?
God Is Not Dead or something.
No, it's something more like, it's based on books. God damn it.
It's just all like Christianity based films. Like everything, every undertone, like everything.
I want to look this
up. You thinking of the one with Mike Seaver?
No, it's like a series of them, and it's about the rapture. Someone's going
Kirk Cameron. Yeah, Kirk Cameron.
Well, I don't even know if sure he was in that.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
Impact Pictures. Okay.
While he's looking that up, wait, so this was in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
And do you live in Oklahoma? Or where did your dad go? He left you guys there and went?
He went to the hotel. He was just like, he really cannot stand religious stuff. Like, they hold hands, he'll put his head down, he'll look at you the side eye. Like, and he was like, he couldn't wait to get out of there. In fact, I think he left before I could run out and be like, Dad, I don't want to stay, which is why I was mad at my brother. I don't even think I was able to get my bag out of the car. He just left it and it was gone.
Bizarre. Like, that's already an uncomfortable situation to be in, to, like, stay at somebody's house who, like, ugh, that already.
It was my brother. You got weed and Madden? We in. I'm like, what? We don't even know this kid. Like, come on.
The only Impact Pictures I could find did, like, Resident Evil and stuff like that, so I don't think I'm in the right zone here.
They might be no more. Try Impact Films.
They might have never been, because y'all didn't invest in it.
Yeah.
They had a studio. They had all their films and everything. Huh, nothing's coming up.
Wow.
God bless it. I got to figure out this Rapture movie, too. Left Behind. There you go.
There you go. That's Kirk Cameron.
I watched that in high school. It's a weird thing about being left behind in the rapture.
Yeah.
Once all the Christians have been zapped up.
Yeah. I think they redid it with Nicolas Cage. Find it.
It's probably on IMDb Pro.
The thing is about, like, Christian music and movies and stuff, it is good money.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are... I grew up with that stuff, but, like, people buy that, like, out of obligation almost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like, just like, well, Christian movies, bring it in. And like,
I mean, it's built in. It's like Tyler Perry. Like, yeah. Everybody has their own thing. Like, oh, no, I'm going to support this. This person does this like that. You know he's this.
So how old were you, or how old was this kid, would you reckon?
I was probably 25. And I think this kid was 16 or 17.
Oh, okay. I thought he was just a little younger than you. The daughter was a little...
Yeah, the daughter was older than him. I think the daughter was 21.
Okay.
Yeah, she was on her way to college.
You know, there's a thing about, like, pastor's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how they're usually the craziest, some of the more fucked up kids.
Because they have the most, like, strict parent. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's just, like, I don't know. It's that whole thing of, like... Just Christians, no, not Christians in general, but like in my high school, it's like if you tell me you can't like be sexually active until you're married, people were like, yeah, sure, yeah, that's definitely. And then like they'd act out even more because they think like everything's a sin. So if like getting a blowjob's the same as like something way worse than that, do you know what I mean? Like,
they were the ones
getting
that
a blowjob.
Came up with you can lose your virginity. Oh, you. It's not losing your virginity if you do anal sex.
Yeah, the like, technical virgin. Yeah.
That always blew my mind why that would be okay before the other.
This girl
to your butt.
I went to high school with, like, she was very, she was very, she had a very strict mom. She had a very strict mom, and she had a very strict mom. And she, like, her mom would, like, be at school during the day, like, to, like, check on her and all this type of stuff. It's like, and she would always, like, her mom would be, like, super mean to the boys, like, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, your daughter's the one with all the rumors.
Yeah.
And they've been proven. Some of us have seen things, heard things. Like,
mm-hmm.
we have been on the bus. We know when the oversized hoodie comes out, what's going on. And, like, she used to, like, drop her off, pick her up, and, like, and she eventually, like, she, I think she was a preacher's kid. Like,
uh-huh.
it's like, don't be so damn strict on your kids. They're going to act out more.
They're going to mm-hmm. rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Because I was a good kid in high school, like, sort of nerdy-ish, like, because my mom wasn't super, she was strict, so I didn't, like, go to parties and stuff, but she, I think I was more embarrassed of the fact that my mom always wanted to be like, no, if you go to this party, I gotta be there, I gotta know who's gonna be there, whose parents have, who's in, and so I didn't go to parties in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
But
couldn't get the sheet. You know, couldn't get the call sheet for who's going to be there.
Like, I'm like, why would you? I'm like, never mind. I don't even want to go. And then my mom would hit me with the, why are you always in the house on the weekend? I'm like, all right, well, can I go to this thing? No. Come in the house. I'm talking real shit.
All right. Thank you. Wow, this is great. Thanks for coming over to our house. I'm glad you guys are friends with my boy Jake.
It's a beautiful home.
Thank you.
The food smells great. Thank you.
Before we eat, Jiminy Christmas.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Before we eat, I just would like to say a short prayer.
The food is hot, Mom.
Jake? The food is hot, and I made it hot, okay? Please don't sass me. Let's get into the prayer.
Sorry, guy.
Dear Heavenly Father.
What the hell so is much this for the shit?
It's crazy.
What the fuck is going on?
Thank you for all thy blessings.
What the fuck is this?
And for
let's just all of the be respectful.
We have here on the table.
Dad, be respectful.
Fuck this. I'm not giving him any money.
And thank you so much.
Nobody said you had to give him any money, Dad.
For our guests who are coming today.
I hope they can hear me.
Dad, stop.
And if the guests, we could also pray for the guests to be respectful during the prayer.
Sorry, my bad. I usually don't. I'm sorry for my dad.
Yeah. We're still in the prayer, so mm-hmm. heads down, eyes closed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And thank you very much
for this religion shit.
Football season. It's gone well.
Here we go.
The football season's going very well for the Sooners.
I'm a Texas fan.
And thank you for keeping our team healthy and getting us to the national championship tournament. That's
Dad,
be with our
down.
Boys and keep their
looks
health.
Looks like a devil.
And amen, right?
Thank you so much for Jake as he continues to make new friends.
He looks like a devil. She's gonna see you.
And as Jake has expanded in his circle of friends and gotten past his social hang-ups and his anxiety,
okay,
where he cries.
Okay, God doesn't need to know that.
Oh, that's a lot.
All right,
in his room at night. Just about.
Okay.
Every time you interrupt.
Got to get the line.
You stilt me.
Got to get God back on the line.
Sorry. Now I do, actually, because I was talking to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the weather. We haven't had a tornado in a while.
God is with Metro PCS.
Thank you for the weather. And yes, thank you for our family plan. Now that I think about it, we get all our kids for a very affordable rate. Unlimited data is wonderful.
That is cool. Thank you for that kickflip I pulled
this
off earlier.
This isn't a pass around. Well, you go ahead, actually.
Yeah, it pulled off. Thank you, God, for the kickflip you helped me land and kickflip. For
see his big ass on the table.
Dad.
And thank you for having Carolyn see me for who I am and agreeing to go to the dance with me.
Carolyn. Dad, they're going to come to you next. Get ready.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Thank you for my great style.
I ain't gonna even get on it. I ain't gonna even do it.
Welcome horns. And thank you for my winning personality.
And let's pass it to the right.
All right, it's my turn. Heavenly Father.
He's on the line already.
Heavenly Father, this is me. This is me, Edward. I just want to eat. Much obliged.
Okay, and we're posting one more.
Okay, yeah. Heavenly Father, this is Jonathan.
He knows.
I just, oh, I'm sorry.
You know, you never said a prayer in your life.
this is my second prayer. And
your first prayer.
Second or first prayer I've ever made. And I just want to thank you for this food. It looks very good. And the blessing to be traveling with my father. We're hoping to get my acting career started with the investment in this movie. And I really appreciate it. First credit.
And taking it back. And yes, in addition to the acting careers, let's keep watch over the production company and may the box office numbers not yet. Not yet. Don't interrupt me. I told you that.
Ooh.
Okay?
You gonna
and a sweater vest is not in style. No matter how hard you try to make it in style, it is not in style.
Sorry.
Say it to God.
Sorry, God, for wearing a sweater vest.
Lightning strikes the house.
I got next on Madden. You guys were playing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were playing.
All right. Y'all suck. All of you. Fucking suck.
Hey, man, you okay?
Yeah, man. Just, you know, I fell asleep for a little bit. I'm awake now.
Yeah? Yeah. That's what you were doing over there? You were sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you hear that, Josh?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess.
How long was I out?
About, say, 5 to 7 minutes.
5 to 7 minutes. Wow. It's pretty quick.
Yeah. Very quick nap.
Well, real quick nap. Feel good, though. I'm ready to whoop some ass, man. Who I got next, though?
I guess you do.
Yeah.
We're going to finish the game.
All right,
so it's going to be a second.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Which controller are you going to play with?
That white one.
Oh, that white one, huh?
What's wrong with the white one?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with the white one.
Will you put some loogies on it, Jeff? What are you talking about?
I didn't put anything on it. The question is what's going to be put on it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you want to wash your hands after that nap.
What? Nah, I don't need to. Y'all stupid. I don't need to wash my hands after a nap.
We love
man.
Coming to your house, Steve. I mean, you got the best house of all of our friends.
Appreciate that, man. Dad's rich.
That's nice. That's very nice. You have a big screen. We can play Madden.
Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Your dad built you a man cave.
Yeah.
Like, and made it look like a real cave. Like, bats hanging from the roof and stuff.
Oh, yeah, just maybe, Jake, wash your hands after that nap.
You could have had some dirty dreams.
What are you guys talking about, man? Look, let's go, man. Here's my hand right here. See, it's
not
what?
Steve, don't come on.
Another roll in my hands, no, guys. What's the problem?
Steve, we heard you over there yanking at me.
What? No, I was snoring. That's what y'all heard. I was snoring.
Snoring don't sound like.
Sometimes I smack my lips. Yes. What? Did you hear? Yeah.
Yeah.
No one snores going. Uh-huh. And paging through a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
You knocked off all those mugs from that bar when you reached up there to get a damn already used napkin.
Are you guys for real? Did you hear everything?
I heard everything.
Oh, God.
You just took your hand in my face. Now my face is
itchy. No, I'm sorry. But, look, y'all, please don't tell nobody. Man. Okay, please don't tell anybody.
We won't. Just will you relax for a second? Can we finish our game? We got Packer Saints going here.
God,
Packer
I feel so Saints. Stupid.
Oh, hey, boys. You're still using the old den to play video games, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping to rub out a nap in here.
Hey, did you see the janitor this morning?
Huh?
Did you see where he parked?
No.
He parked next to Evans's parking spot. Like, CEO, then janitor.
Hmm. Okay.
Just saying.
I don't know. What do you I don't know why.
What's up with that guy?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he had to run in and do an errand or something, or like.
Well, I mean, we do big business here, right?
We do the biggest business.
Right? Yeah. I mean, like, this is JP Morgan Chase.
Yeah. We do big money business.
Big money business. It's like, I've been going for that spot. I've been working here for 5 years.
I don't know. I have to take it easy.
No, I can't take it easy. I don't understand why a civil custodian is getting treated better than me.
I don't know that he... Okay. I don't think we have to treat anybody poorly. He just parked there.
Hey, guys. You know that janitor for the building?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's getting a corner office.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, I just came from the left wing of the building, JP Morgan Chase. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And he got a corner office.
They gave him a corner office?
What floor?
10.
10, motherfucker! Throws a desk.
Whoa. Whoa.
That was a...
And here I am in the... here I am on floor 8, sharing an office with Barry. Well...
Oh, what's so bad about sharing an office with Barry?
You yell into your phone, you chew your gum like a maniac, and you fart constantly. You know, I smell it.
Oh, you're a real dream to be an office mate with.
Oh, yeah? What did I do wrong?
You got a picture of your wife and kids up there.
Whoa. Okay, guys.
You don't ever comment on my wife. He's got a corner office.
Got a
corner office.
Like, what's going on? Why is this janitor?
Did y'all hear? Y'all are not going to believe this. That janitor, that you know the one.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. On the 10th floor, corner office.
Okay.
Yeah. The boss just walked in, handed him a bag of cocaine and a white woman.
Are you cocaine and a white woman?
Yes.
What? He handed him a white woman.
He was carrying the white woman like Dances with Wolves, and
wow.
Handed it to her.
Well, that is super strange.
Okay. There's something. We got to get to the bottom of this.
He must not be a janitor, right? He's got to be something.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. He's pushing a vacuum along.
Wow, he really looks coked out.
Yeah. Might actually be good for his work.
Yeah. He's vacuuming. Look how perfect those lines
are. Maybe that's what this is. Get him to... You know.
All right, boy, what's going on in here? Back to work, boy.
Yes, sir. Sorry, Mr. Morgan.
Yes, it's me, JP Morgan.
Sorry.
Hanging out with my buddy Chase.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Chase Utley, plays for the Angels.
Incredible. Mr. Morgan?
Yeah.
You have a second?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Keep in mind, my time is expensive.
What was that?
My time is expensive. Yep. I'm J.P. Morgan.
We were wondering, we noticed the janitor.
Yes.
He has a corner office, is that right?
Yes.
A parking spot?
Yes, he does.
And a white woman and some cocaine?
Yes, both of those things.
Wow.
Very attractive white woman.
I can't help but think, you know, I've been sort of... If I'm speaking frankly, bending the law, on some of these mortgage loans we've been authorizing. And
I don't want to hear about it, any of that. I will make a citizen's arrest. Keep doing what you're doing.
What? Oh, God.
You're doing a great job. All of you are doing great jobs.
Are you sure, sir? Is there anything that you could recommend that maybe we could do better?
Listen, there's a couple things that we got to get out here right now.
Yeah.
I had to give that man that office for a few reasons.
Okay.
He knows some things about me. Some things that I can't talk about.
Okay.
That is what he requested. A corner office for his janitorial supplies.
What about the cocaine and the white woman?
He requested it.
Oh.
Hey, I don't get in people's business.
God, I'd love to have a white woman. I'd take an ugly one, boss. It doesn't even matter.
You have money, Pete.
Just, it was built in me to not get women with money.
Well,
my personality doesn't do it, and I can't use the money.
You could.
All right, well, I have to go back to my office now on the 11th floor.
All right. He's living a dream on floor 11 in New York City. Can you imagine being on floor 11?
This building has 49 floors, and I'm on floor 11.
Excuse me, y'all need me to clean your office? It smells like gas in here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
Take this trash can.
And hey, don't take the change out of my coin. My coin
purse.
My coin purse. It's a satchel.
Call it what you want. It's a purse.
I'm sorry. I thought I took that to the lost and found. I did not know the purse was a man's.
Was okay, I ask you something, man. What did you do with that white woman?
Amanda.
Is that her name?
Ooh. Amanda is my coke table.
She's your coke table?
She's my coke table.
Whoa. That's disrespectful. I like it.
The other guy who was pining for the white woman earlier jumps out a window.
Oh, no. I have to
see
go
what you did?
Clean that up. I'll take you home.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that, Majid.
Thank you.
Glad you avoided that business decision. Yeah. I also would love your dad to look at a screenplay I got. Carl.
Yes.
We're on to you, man. What do you want to talk about?
I've been having a hard time trying to figure out a story that I'm going to tell.
Okay.
Then I just thought about it when I was listening to his story about a drug overdose. there was this dude. So I used to live in Inglewood.
Uh-huh.
In these apartments on 104th and Crenshaw. I kind of, like, when I first moved to L.A., that's where we lived. You know, we had to live in the hood because my mom didn't have much money.
Yeah.
But in the back, you would pull into this alley behind the apartments because the street was a one-way street and parking was very bad on it. And you'd pull into the alley and park in the garages back there. And the garages were like these rinky-dink. Like, if you ever go in the hood, you see these garages, they got these gates where in order to open, like, in order to get in your garage, you got to open up all four garages. Like, it's just one gate.
Oh, you got that right there.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
So, next door was a garage the same way, and one of the garage stalls, a man lived in.
Okay.
And his name was Richard. And Richard was a very nice crackhead who lived in the garage next. Like, he was always, like, protective. Like, whenever my mom would, like, have to come home late or something like that, like Richard would, like, stand, like, guard, like, make sure, like, ain't, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, he was a nice dude. And he lived in a van in that garage.
Huh.
And so he would always say what's up, like he was, and like you could tell he was like a drunk or a crackhead or something. But sometimes Richard would like dress up, and I put that in quotations because it'd be like his dressing up was just like 1970s clothes. Like he like tuck in his boots, and like you just see Richard walking down the alley like swinging like a 1970s singer, like shoo doo doo, a shout out, like he'd be walking up and down, and be like Richard is out there getting it, and so. Weird, I was like, this dude just lived in the garage, and it was a garage of an apartment building that you could see, like, because it was only like a sliding gate. And so he had a girlfriend who had an apartment.
A girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah. He had a girlfriend who had an apartment. I'm assuming she was a crackhead too.
Yeah,
but she had an apartment. Like, she lived in the apartment next door to us. It wasn't our apartment. It wasn't our apartment complex. It was the apartment complex next to us, and it was very close. So, like, if you went into like our bathroom and you open the window, you could hear like stuff going on. So one night, Richard,
make sure you're speaking
is,
in here.
Richard's got a ladder and he is trying to get into his girlfriend's apartment, and he's just like, open this goddamn window, open this shit, bitch. I don't know what you think is going on around these bars, and I don't know what kind of crack you smoking, but give me some, because it must be good as hell if you think you're gonna treat me like this. Shit, I'm motherfucking Richard, I'm motherfucking Richard. And me and my mom are just dying because he's like, because he's yelling from the bottom at first, and then he goes, I'll be right back, I'll be right damn back. And he goes and gets a ladder against the apartment building and walks up the ladder, and he's just knocking on her window. Come on in, come on, let me in, let me in this motherfucker. And then like they fighting, mom, I'm like, mom, come here, come here, come here. And like I'm in the bathroom with the light off, and I think my mom walked by the door. I'm supposed to be showering. And my mom walks by the door, and she sees that the light is off. So she's like, just No privacy in mind. Like, bust open the door. He's like, what are you doing in this bathroom? Like, I could probably think I'm jacking off or something. Like, why is the light off?
Yeah, why would you want to see that, too?
And I'm like, Mom. She's like, Mom, come here. And like, look out the window. And it's Richard, like, in the rain. And then he's just like, yeah. And he's just yelling at her, singing, like basically, like, R&B songs that like say like that like describe their situation at the time. Like, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. Shit, you must be crazy. Betcha by golly, wow. Like,
just going to his Rolodex.
Yeah, just going to his Rolodex of like songs that pertain to their situation. Then we saw them the next day. She was back. They're in the garage and they both waved. Like, hey, no big deal. How you doing? Like,
those songs.
Yeah. He was so mad. So that's the story of Richard.
I thought this was leading to her having an overdose or something like that.
Oh, no. Just two funny crackheads.
So she had an apartment. He didn't, huh?
Yeah. I honestly don't know if she was a crackhead. I'm assuming she was. If she's dating a dude who's clearly like a drunk and a drug addict. That lives in a garage and like not even like a real garage. It's like just like four stalls. You know what I'm saying? Like you couldn't
like
keep
a carport
back there.
Or like something.
A carport.
Like, yeah,
like
yeah.
In this alley that's like in this shitty ass neighborhood. Like it's in the real bad. You ever seen Boys in the Hood?
Mm-hmm.
Remember at the beginning?
Long time ago.
You know, y'all want to see dead body and they walking around that corner on Lawrence Street and they see you see like the shots in Ronald Reagan's head and stuff like that. That's the block. That's the
block.
Oh wow.
And there's just tons of abandoned apartment buildings and stuff like that. On that block, and like it was like Mac 10 used to be over there. It was a blood neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Crenshaw Mafia. You know, he says, "I ain't from Africa. I'm from Crenshaw Mafia."
Yeah,
that's where Crenshaw Mafia is.
Okay, yeah,
huh.
I did my student teaching near there. I think
it's Morningside High School's right there. Woolworth.
It was like I taught like a summer program there. Boy, I can't remember. What was the name of that last one you said?
Woodworth Elementary, Monroe Middle School, and Morningside High School.
Might have been Monroe Middle School, I think. It was like a summer program. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
You have to go down Crenshaw to 104?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it is. Bad neighborhood.
Yeah. Do you think he was... So, do you know... Was he renting that out from somebody who lived in the apartment?
I have no clue. It might have been her garage.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
And it could have been like an old married couple or something. And she like kicked him out because his drug use was bad or because his alcoholism was bad or something.
Yeah.
But he used to be back there shining his boots and like hanging out and like real cool guy.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Huh. That's interesting.
Me and my friends used to go back there and like throw the football or something, like, and he'd be like, y'all get out of this alley throwing that football. Like, it's bad back here. Y'all get out of this alley. Like, he's like,
yeah,
coherent, like,
yeah,
like in a weird way, like looking out for everyone.
Yeah, sort of.
Huh. How long did you live there?
We lived there. Let me see. When I first moved here in late '98, we lived in the jungles. Which I don't know if you've done student teaching in jungles. Like
The school I taught at played basketball games at a rec center over in that area. So I didn't like. I just went there for a couple of games.
The jungles is where you've seen Training Day.
Mm-hmm.
Remember where the dude that was on the roof with the gun? Like when they drive down the dead end, mm-hmm. We call it the Red End because it's also a blood neighborhood. That's Black Peacestone's Bloods, and I lived over there. Like,
wow.
That's when we first moved out here, and then we left to get a bigger place where my brother was born, and that's when we moved to Englewood, and we stayed there from, I was in fifth, sixth, and like a little bit of seventh grade, and then we moved over to like West Adams, and then after that we didn't stay in West Adams very long because we lived in a slum. Like it was a bad house.
Mm-hmm.
Like the house was like knocked off the foundation from the 94 earthquake, and it wasn't like it was unlivable. Like and like somebody drove by and found out, like an inspector or something, or one of the neighbors was like, nobody should be living there. Like I think they just bought the building and like put some paint on it and some new carpet and was like, all right, people can move in.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and it was bad. Yeah, it was real bad. And then, so then we moved out of there and went over to, by USC, like Vermont and King. And that's where I stayed for like 2.5-3 years.
Cool. I don't know anything about those neighborhoods, yeah, to be honest.
I grew up in the hood, Josh. Yeah. I'm a real one.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, yeah, about it. I grew up in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. No. So.
That's sort of the same.
Just less snow.
Yeah. Did you ever like brush up against, like, if it was like blood neighborhood? Did you ever like brush up against that?
Yeah, growing up in LA, you kind of like, even when you're not a part of that stuff. Like, mm-hmm, like I said, my mom was strict. I also am a bit of a scaredy cat, so I never wanted to get in trouble for anything like that. But like, I grew up with dudes who, like, when we were younger, we were all just kids having fun, and then, mm-hmm, like as we got to like high school and stuff, they started like going this way, and I started going this way, and we like every time we go to the mall or any parties or anything like that, there's always gang activity and stuff. So like, if I were to ever go like the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Mall, you probably get banged on by Bloods. You go to Fox Hills Mall, you get banged on by everybody. That's just the spot. But it's also like not even like a big deal. Like everybody's kind of just there to like do that mall thing where you walk around, yeah, in your freshest outfit and don't buy anything. Like, go to the food court and like see friends and maybe get like a pair of shoes. Like maybe.
Yeah.
You get, you know, you just, people ask you when they see a bunch of dudes that look like them, uh-huh, they're going to try to, you know, it's like a dog eat dog kind of place LA is,
uh-huh,
South Central LA and like just the West Side, basically. Like over here is bad too, actually. But this is getting more gentrified now. This is
that's why we're here.
This is MS-13.
Josh. What's that?
This is MS-13.
Yeah. I've seen some stuff out here. There's like definitely some tag. I don't know what EXP means, but that's...
Oh, that's probably just tagger.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever see MS and then like XV3, uh-huh, 18th Street or something like that, like they're all...
There's definitely been some stuff out here. Like, yeah, there's somebody... I saw someone, or I didn't, but my neighbors, who I'm very good friends with, saw someone get beat up out there. Damn. It was, yeah, like something to do with...
It's crazy. I mean,
like they were saying gang stuff.
To the Gold Room?
Yeah, like, that's right
that
there.
That place is... a mixture of the, or like any of these places, Satellite, the Gold Room, like what's the other ones down there?
Shortstop
and, yeah, all those type of places, like they're the exact mix of like LA Hispanic gangbangers and hipsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
They're starting to touch a little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Especially, yeah, in this Gold Room. I had to like protect my friend one night in the Gold Room.
Really?
Was, like, cholo dude was gonna beat him up. Because, wow, he had on like a zoot suit and like these weird glasses. And I was just with like one of my improv friends from Second City. And he was like, oh, dude, fucking check out this guy's outfit. Like, nice. And he was like that. And the dude thought it was an insult. Like, what the fuck you saying, dog? Like, and I was like, I'm like, hey, yeah. It's all good, man. Like, it was funny. And he was like, oh, dude, I didn't mean anything by it. Like, nah, dude. Nah, fuck that. And I was like, look, man, how about we all do a shot? Like, I'll buy you a shot. And,
yeah, then he's like, take all care right, of cool, it.
And then the fool goes try to say, hey, I think we need another shot. Like that. And I look at him and I go, nah, bro, I'm from here. You good on shots. Like, I'm not him. Like,
yeah, yeah. That's funny. I definitely hear that Gold Room stuff every night.
Yeah.
Like, I go to bed and there's like, there's stuff happening out there.
Yeah.
Cars squealing away and women yelling. In a weird way, I'm like, it's like the lady who cried wolf out there sometimes. Because, like, I hear people going, like, ah, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I used to, like, my first few months here, I would, like, run to the window, like, what's going on? Like, do they need me?
Yeah.
And now it's like, nah. So
now you need to go, what's going on? I'm trying to see what's popping out. That's the fun part about living in the hood. You see the craziest shit. For example, Richard trying to get in his girlfriend's,
yeah,
house.
No kidding. I'm talking real shit.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Is this all the ladders you have?
Yeah, you're looking at our ladders.
Boy,
pretty wide variety. Myself,
Home Depot. I need a much longer ladder.
What do you mean? So we have this 25-foot one. It has an extension.
Okay. I'm not looking to build a house, okay? I'm looking to get my girlfriend back. She's in a tall building.
Have you tried calling her? What do you mean? Is she in trouble? What?
No, she's not. She doesn't want to talk to me. And I've been shouting from the ground.
Yeah. I don't think...
Can I talk to somebody who's an expert around here?
I am an expert. I've been working at this Home Depot for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
If you want to get your girlfriend's attention...
Yeah.
I guess I would, I don't know, send her a card, try to call, but I can't. None of these ladders. These ladders are for repairs and that kind of thing. And
I need a love ladder.
Frankly, anything about a love ladder?
Yeah.
I mean, best advice I have is try the fire department, but even that, that's a waste of taxpayer money.
Okay, I'll try that. Go to the fire department. Guy, can I borrow it?
What? No, what? No, man, we need these for fires.
Can you take that truck around and I'll sit on that back thing? Listen, that extend me out?
I'm not allowed to take the truck out except for emergency situations.
Like a fire?
Like a fire or a cat stuck in a tree.
Okay, so if there was a fire, you'd have to take that truck out?
Yes. Are you planning on starting a fire? You can't start it. Are you planning on starting a fire?
Okay. I'm in love.
If you tell, I don't care. If you tell me that, I will be forced to arrest you. You don't know this, but firemen do have the authority to arrest people.
Okay. Okay, I won't start a fire. What was the other thing you said? If a cat stuck in a tree?
Cat is stuck in a tree. Are you planning on putting a cat in a tree? Do you have cats, sir? Are you trying to endanger a cat?
I'm not
cat,
trying to endanger one.
You a cat never can know. Fall from a tree.
Curiosity gets them anywhere.
Cut to the pet store. So yeah, this is Tabby.
Great.
And Tabby is, I think the demeanor of Tabby is the best one that we have here, and she needs a home. So
okay. When you say the demeanor, what kind of, like, is she a cuddly cat?
Very cuddly, very loving, will come to you whenever she
I need one her. Like that'll climb.
A cat that'll climb?
Hot? Yeah. Do you have a cat that'll get stuck?
Well, you know, most cats, like, they're very resourceful. It's very hard to get them stuck. A tabby doesn't have front claws. She's been declawed, so she might not be the best for climbing.
Do you have little cat gloves with claws on them? Otherwise, I'm going to need a cat with claws. You know what? I'll take all five of these cats.
We cut back to the Home Depot. What do you want? You're looking at these ladders again? Now you need to get a cat. What did you do? You're going to tape a cat?
A catapult.
A catapult? Yeah. There's no such thing.
Yeah, well, the fireman said he'd help me out if I got a cat into a tree.
Cut to the fire. I did not say I would help
come
you
on.
With that. No.
You're making me look stupid in front of him.
Listen, I'm going to throw you.
I can't believe I'm here.
I'm going to throw you in the fireman's holding cell.
What? Yes. They have one?
Yes. I will hold you there until the police come.
I don't understand. Has nobody in this town been in love? I'm trying to get my girl back.
Listen, that's not our problem. We all have our girls. They're you not do? Going anywhere.
I bet you do. You're a fireman.
Yeah, and I'm very beautiful.
Yeah, you could look a fireman.
Yeah, well. Home Depot guys get cool girls, too.
Okay.
Martha, you told me to watch your kids. I did, okay? What's the problem? I didn't take none of that stuff from the apartment. I promise.
I'm looking at this apartment and my things are disheveled. What is going on in this apartment?
I couldn't tell you.
You took something out of here, Richard.
No. Look, the kids, they love the stories I read to them. I put on the TV just for half an hour, like you said. And then they went to sleep. And then I went to sleep.
Now I know what's wrong in here. Where are the damn kids?
What? They was there. They was there. Did you check the room?
He opens it. It's on fire.
Whoa! I'm going to keep that closed for now. Where are my kids? They're not in that fire room.
I done told you. They was there when I was here.
Richard, be honest with me. Were you smoking in my kids' room?
I never do that. That's the kids. That's the children. That's the future of America. I would never smoke around them like that.
You don't even say never. Say never.
I never do that.
Every time you say never, let me know that you're lying.
Look, all right. Look. Martha, I'll level with you. I might have smoked in your room, but I ain't smoking the kids.
Let me go check on my room.
Okay. You can blame me on your room, Martha. But I'm going to need some money for my babysitting job.
Well, you didn't do a good job.
You promised me some money for this job.
You
Martha.
Didn't do your job, Richard. You didn't. My kids are gone.
That ain't on me.
Both of the two rooms in this two-room apartment are on fire.
You need to call somebody, okay? Now, I need this money.
You left a coaster stain on my coffee table. I told you to use a coaster. You left a glass stain. I can't believe you. Where are my kids? Where are my kids?
Benny, June, come out here.
Benny and June.
Benny, June. See, there they go right there.
Where were you guys? Oh, my God, I was worried. Sick. Benny, June.
I must have dozed off for a little bit.
Benifer, tell me the truth. Huh? Junith.
Richard said that we could go out. He sent us on a scavenger hunt.
He said to find as much fire as we could find.
Is that why my rules off? Benifer and Juneteenth.
I needed a light. I'm sorry.
We just kept storing the fire in the rooms.
Y'all did good.
Thank you.
We cut to the next day. You called the fire department. That's
yes,
me.
I did.
We did put out the fire in a way. It burned out your place. So I think my job's done here.
No.
Can I get some?
No.
Can you please pay me?
You are a civic duty man.
Come on, just give me a little money.
You don't get
tips
money.
Are appreciated.
Where are my children?
I don't know where your children
Juneteenth.
Are.
Why are you always sleeping? You're the laziest child.
Took a nap.
Who is that? The fireman, excuse me. You do not get any money from me, okay? You are a civic
servant. I did my job.
A civil servant.
I did my job.
You can get paid by the city because you are a civil servant. Mm.
Hey, fireman, you need all this hose?
There it is.
Richard, get back in your
Carl, what are you doing in that bathroom? Huh? Carl?
What?
Carl? Come on, let me in the bathroom,
no,
Carl.
No, the light's off.
Carl, I'm your roommate. I deserve to know what's happening.
No, Mom, stop calling yourself
your We're roommates, and I'm your mom. Come on, let me in.
No, I need my privacy.
We see the head of an axe go through the door. Carl, what's going on in there? Her hand reaches through, undoes the door.
All right, fine. You want to see? This is what I do in the bathroom.
You got a bath going?
Yes.
Candles?
Yes. A little Sade playing.
What are you doing, son of mine?
I'm about to take a very sensual bath. I'm a growing boy. I need my bath time.
Bath time? Oh. You're not smoking in here or anything like that?
I'm not smoking.
You're not jerking off?
I'm not jerking off. I would never touch myself inappropriately. I only touch myself to clean.
Something isn't right here. Something isn't right. Let me look at these candles. Vanilla bean.
Yes. Urban Home.
Urban Home, yes. What is this? Oh, bubbles. This must be... There's something in here. Mm-hmm. What is this? Is this... Nope.
No, it's just a bath bomb.
Just a bath?
Yes. What else do you need from me, Mom? I'm trying to bathe.
We cut to the phone call. Look, what do you want? You wanted him? Sounds like you raised a sissy. I can't help you out.
Come on. I need you now. All right?
What about last week when I needed you?
Okay.
You had to go on a date. You was too busy for this.
Yeah. Well, listen. I let you stay at my garage once in a while. I want you to be a father to my kid.
I was his father. Then he got into that bath bomb industry.
What?
The bath bombs.
Bath bombs?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You ain't never heard about this? Taking baths with bath bombs, trying out different ones, putting on Snapchat. He letting everybody know how.
What's a bath bomb? You mean like a bomb?
It's like a bunch of soap.
Oh, you had me worried sick. I thought...
You should know more about your son's life. You got him all the time. I just got him on the weekends. I always got to clean the hell out of my tub after the boy bath bombs it.
By the way, what are you doing in here?
What?
What are you doing in...
I need to borrow some sugar.
We cut to Macy's. Carl's mom is banging on the dressing room door.
Let me in! Carl, let me in!
Hey, Mom, can I please try on this here sucking suit? Why do you have a gun? Did you shoot the room?
Ma'am!
Shoots the lock off. What are you doing?
I'm trying on a suit.
Let me see that suit. You're trying on a... Where's your weapons?
Where's any weapons? You're the one with a gun.
I have a mom gun because I need it. Okay? Moms can have guns if they're looking after their kids. All right?
I guess. Fine, Mom. But I'm just trying on this very nice seersucker melon suit.
your dad and his fashion influence on you.
He taught me all of this.
Cut to the office outside of the principal's office. Yeah, the principal will be with you in 1 minute. He's in a meeting right now, okay?
What's that?
He's in a meeting. He'll be with you momentarily.
What's he doing in there? I need to talk to him.
I do not know. I don't ask him. Ma'am. Ma'am.
She's got a mom gun.
Hey. I'm sorry. Listen. I was in a meeting. What is going on out here?
What does it look like, a meeting? This looks like... Who's this white woman in this office?
Listen. Here's the deal. And then with this white woman... My dick doesn't work anymore.
I'm gonna go clean the cafeteria.
And it's my janitor.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Meet Improv. Did a nice discussion on if we're risky choices in comedy. Took some risky
choices. And how we won't be beholden to them. We will do what we want.
I think the meatheads out there will appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're offended, Jake, what's your email? Just kidding. Thank you so much for coming on. That was really fun.
That was great.
This is very fun. We'll go around and let you plug some stuff. I know White Woman has the Your Token Friend show, right?
Yes, we do.
Is that monthly?
That is monthly. Every second Friday, UCB Sunset at 10:30 p.m. We got it this week. If you're listening, I don't know when this comes out.
Not this week.
Okay. if you didn't show up, you missed a hell of a show. We had Lamorne Morris from New Girl.
Nice.
As the monologist. But it's every second Friday of the month at 10:30 p.m.
Cool. You guys tour. I mean, you guys. Why were just tours, up in San Francisco, right?
SF Sketchfest.
We're going to be in San Diego on March 11th.
Nice.
I keep trying to remind them of it. I'm very scared that they're going to flake on me. But we're supposed to be in San Diego on March 11th.
Cool. Awesome.
And check out Carl and I on
Queen George.
Harold Night or Harold Late Night on Thursdays.
Harold Fridays.
WCB Queen George.
QG. Come see.
Put your QGs up.
Awesome. Cool. Anything else?
That's
good. That's good. Jake.
Check out We're Gross with Gilly the third Thursday of the month, UCB Franklin, 9:30. Follow me on Twitter. Wake Up with Jacob.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm at Mr. Josh Simpson. I think I still got Kitty Cat Williams on CISO pinned to the top there. I don't know. Check it out. Maybe no. I think it's Jesus quoting Trump. Whatever. Follow me on Twitter, Mr. Josh Simpson. You can like The Meat on Facebook. We also have a Twitter account, The Meat Improv. If you want to support the show, very easy thing you can do. Go to boardwalk.com. BoardwalkAudio.com/The Meat. There's a button that says support our artists. Click that. If you're going to shop on Amazon, then just go shop on Amazon, and it kicks a little bit back to us. You can email us at themeatimprov@gmail.com. We're still thinking about that tour. Got some little plans for the summer here.
Yeah.
We promise it's coming together. We've been doing this, talking about this since we started the show, but we're going to try to tour, teach some workshops. So if you've got any cities across the U.S. that are interested in that, themeatimprov@gmail.com. Thank you to State Bird for doing our music. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Meat Improv. I'll take you home.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.